Hey there, this is Carl Thiel, composer for Seis Manos, and you're listening to The Annotator.
Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 95, where composer Carl Thiel talks about his original score for the Netflix series Seis Manos. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net or wherever quality podcasts are found. Carl Thiel is an award-winning composer and producer who splits his time between Los Angeles, California, and Austin, Texas. Born into a European family and raised in Mexico City, he was exposed to a rich and wide variety of cultural experiences and musical styles from a very early age. At the age of six, he began taking classical piano lessons under the tutelage of Carlos Alcaraz from the National Conservatory of Music, and within a couple of years, he was already improvising and composing his own music. Just a few of Carl Thiel's recent projects include From Dusk Till Dawn, the series, The Teller and the Truth, Rooster Teeth sci-fi comedy Laser Team 2, and Diving Deep, The Life and Times of Mike DeGry. He recently completed the score to Seis Manos, an exciting new Netflix original anime series produced by the same team that brought you Castlevania. Seis Manos is an American adult animated web television series created by Brad Graber and Alvaro Rodriguez. The story is set in the fictional town of San Simeon in 1970 in Mexico, where three orphan martial arts warriors join forces with a DEA agent and a Mexican federale to avenge the death of their beloved mentor. The series debuted on Netflix on October 3rd, 2019. In this episode, Carl Thiel shares what techniques and instruments he used to musically blend Chinese and Mexican cultures together in his original score. He also dives into several key character themes and action sequences and details a number of the unique instruments he employed to help create what he calls a melting pot of a score.
So first off, I wanted to talk about the main titles track. If you listen to the very first flute motif. Yes, that one. Well, a while back, I'd actually written the score for this proof of concept video that Powerhouse Animation did to showcase the idea of Seis Manos. And I had written that little motif just incidentally. It was just part of the score. It wasn't really a big thematic concept or anything like that. It was just kind of like a passing melodic line. But it really stuck with me. So when it came time to actually do a proper theme, I decided to build on that motif. So presented with the challenge of blending Chinese and Mexican cultures, I tried using that Chinese motif over a Mexican rhythm, which actually sounded pretty cool. And so with that in mind, I worked out the whole chord progression and the melody on piano, and once I had the structure, I really liked that flute playing that very first motif, so I kept that. Then I thought, why don't we add some mariachi trumpets? And I really liked the way that was sounding, but I felt like I was losing a little bit of the Chinese vibe. So I decided to add some Chinese harmonies to the mariachi lines, and I was surprised how well that worked. So once I had those elements, the rest of the piece just fell into place. Of course, the wah-wah was mandatory, because the show takes place in the 70s. This next piece is called Be a Flower, Be Nothing. But it's really Chu's theme. And Chu is the father figure. He's the spiritual kung fu master. And I really wanted this piece to be special, something that would reflect his depth and his history. You know, he's an ancient soul and he has a lot of wisdom. And I really admire that in him. So I really wanted his theme to be very special because it was not only going to reflect his personality, but it was also going to be the moral compass of the Manos. So whenever we see the Manos in doubt or seeking wisdom or reflecting on what the next right thing is for them to do, they go back to Chu's lessons and they remember what he taught them. So this theme comes back every time that happens. And that instrument you hear, that's Tina Guo, who's a fantastic cello and arrow player. And I was really lucky to have her play on the score. And that other metallic string instrument you hear, that's the guzheng, which is a horizontal harp that is tuned to the pentatonic scale. And I use that to write a lot of the Chinese cues. And you might be able to tell that this is also one of the cues that we were able to record with a 26-piece string orchestra, which I was very lucky to record in Budapest as part of the score. It just added so much depth to the music. And the flute you hear, that's Eddie Su playing the xiao, which is an ancient Chinese flute made out of bamboo. And he's just a master on that instrument. It's beautiful. And on a completely different side of the spectrum, we have Brister, who's brilliantly played by Mike Coulter. He's a DEA agent that comes in from the United States to investigate what's going on in this small town in Mexico. He's basically a fish out of water, coming in with these preconceptions of what Mexico is and how things should be. And he just has this really suave approach to everything, you know? And so I really wanted his vibe to reflect that, you know. And of course, it's definitely a character that's inspired by the Blaxploitation era. And so I wanted to have that same kind of a vibe with a, you know, Wurlitzer playing the melodies and having the wah-wah guitar and kind of a really suave type of thing with a flute. This actually came up really, really quickly. I wrote this in, I don't know, probably 30 minutes, it was done. Spoiler alert. If you guys haven't seen the show, you might want to stop listening right now because the title of this track actually gives away some plot information. Okay, so if you're still listening, this track is called Serrano's Demise. And Serrano is a priest. And we meet him, I believe it was episode 3. I really enjoyed working on this scene because it's the big finale of that particular episode. And it's one of those moments where you have a lot of different plot lines that come together at the end. It was challenging, but also a lot of fun. So you have this big reveal right now as so you're listening to this where Jesus witnesses something terrible that's going on in the church. And so he goes back and tells his siblings what he's witnessed. And so it's a big build-up into them confronting Serrano. And I really had fun building this particular moment because we start with the organs really quiet, very church-like, and then I add the guitars, and then the orchestra comes in, church bells, chimes, super dramatic moment. And I timed this whole build-up so that the big climax comes right as one of the characters says, in the most dramatic way, a very surprising line. And then the fight begins. The first thing I wrote here was that viola line. Dun, 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 dun. I really love writing in odd meters. This is a 5/8 beat. And this particular battle had so many different elements to it that made it really interesting to me to write to, because we are in a church setting, but we also have the Chinese vibe from the kung fu that the Seis Manos are bringing in. So you have the church bells, the organ playing, the orchestra playing, and the flute for the Chinese motifs. It's a real melting pot of styles and cultures here, which of course is an ongoing theme of Seis Manos. And these battle scenes can be really tricky because we have moments like this where there's some stops and tension and stares, and then the action continues. In that moment, Jesus was in a tough spot, and then he figures out a really creative way to get out of it. So I wanted to make it fun. And now we hear Brister's theme as he and Garcia arrive into the scene. So of course, I want to try and baby each character as they enter the situation. And over here, he's at the door, and something terrible happens. So it gets tense. This is a very long sequence, and there's a lot of different moments and turns. So you may have noticed I changed keys right there, and I changed the beat. This is when we turn back indoors to a different section of the fight. These kind of musical changes help differentiate the different moments and the different emotional energy that each section has. Like here, where we go back to Brister, and it's a brief moment of relief. And we go back indoors. Again, another change in key and another change in energy. The battle is escalating, and I actually changed the meter as well. This is 7/8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, etc. So up till now, for the most part, the battle has been fun. You know, there's been, you know, dramatic moments, but it's been very playful in the way that I approach the score. But when we get to this particular moment, things get serious. We get to an important plot point where we see Silencio struggling with an internal memory that he's had since childhood that has built an enormous resentment and the peaceful teachings from his master who's been killed. So, what will he do? This is where we see his anger get the best of him. He has done the unthinkable. And so all of the fun, all of the playfulness of the score goes away. We get to a very serious moment. At this point, everybody's staring. Garcia and Brister arrive. They don't know what's going on. And Silencio chooses to run away. So I used the Seis Manos theme, but in a very minor, sad key here, because something terrible has happened. And everyone's in shock. And, you know, the guitars and the trumpets and the modes that I'm using kind of hark back to, you know, 70s era scoring style. And at the end, we have the classic cliffhanger. This is another cue I really like writing. This one's called Chisao Training. And this is a flashback where we see Chu, that's why we hear his theme at the top of it, and he's training our heroes in a particular style of combat called Chisao, where they actually get blindfolded and they try and use their other senses to fight their enemy. And we see Jesus goofing off with Isabella, as he often does, but at the same time we see Chu explaining very calmly and serenely the art of this particular discipline. And so I wanted to give it a very regal sounding, calm, peaceful, almost meditative vibe as he was speaking. It was also another great opportunity for me to practice playing the guzheng. And of course, the string orchestra just adds so much depth and realism to the majesty of this cue. And again, this is one of those moments where we pause for a moment because there's an important switch in the plot. We're now preparing to see a very special sparring session. And so we wait. They're both blindfolded. It's a friendly sparring. So the music is action-driven, but it's not in any way threatening. It has a Chinese-Asian vibe, but it also has that kind of 70s feel that we want to keep throughout the score. I was a little bit inspired by Rocky when I wrote this. Of course, the guzheng playing in the background. That's some Chinese figures played by the strings and the flutes. And we escalate, we're bringing in the brass. The percussion gets heavier as their fight starts getting more serious. We get to the pinnacle of it, where something terrible might happen. And now we leave the flashback and we're back in the present moment, where things are not so happy. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can watch Seis Manos on Netflix, and thanks so much to the annotator for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with composer Carl Thiel and his original score for the Netflix series Seis Manos. The original score for Seis Manos was released on October 4, 2019 by Milan Records and can be purchased at Amazon.com, iTunes, or streamed on Spotify or Apple Music. You can find more and hear more music by Carl Thiel at his official site, carlthiel.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at @cutmasta. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net, or you can subscribe wherever you find quality podcasts, and wherever you do listen to the show, please leave us a rating and a review, and if you know someone you think might enjoy The Annotator, please tell them about the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator, on Facebook or Instagram at The Annotator, or you can send us your own feedback via email to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.